Good afternoon. Welcome to Let's Get It with Alaric Anderson. We are so happy to have you listening. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for all those who listen to our podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or iHeart or any of the other podcast platforms. Thank you for listening. We're glad that you decide to join us and listen to this. Tell a friend about the show. Download the show. Tell a friend about it. Let them go upload it. If you're also interested, if you want some unique content specifically for the show, you can go to my website. That's www.alaricanderson.net, A-L-E-R-I-C-A.net, and you can get exclusive content. You can go listen to some of the older shows and really enjoy the experience that is Let's Get It with Alaric Anderson. Again, we're so glad that you decided to join us on today. We're going to be talking about a lot of things. You know, I promised you guys that I was going to talk about baseball. You know, I used to be a really big baseball fan, and so I want to spend some time today talking about baseball. Spring training is beginning, pitchers and catchers are coming in, and so I want to spend some time talking about baseball and what I believe baseball needs to do to get us back at the games, get people more excited about the game. Also, we're going to talk about the NBA, the All-Star break. They're going to the All-Star break this evening is the last two games before they take the week off. Festivities start in Chicago in the Windy City, who's the host for the All-Star game. Those festivities start on tomorrow night with the Futures game. On Friday night with the Futures game. And then you have the Skills Champions, Skills Challenge, the three-point challenge. And then on Sunday is the All-Star game, with the two captains being LeBron James and Giannis Antetokounmpo. Also, shout out to Giannis. He had his first child. Shout out to him joining the ranks of us who are parents, who are fathers. Shout out to him. So, yeah, and we're going to talk about that. And we're also going to talk about the XFL, man. We had the first week of the XFL. A lot of different people have had a lot of different things to say about the XFL. I have a unique take on it. I believe that it could last, but we'll talk about that too. So again, thank you all for joining. Again, if this is your first time listening to the show, this is you picked the best day. I mean, one of my live shows. We do these live shows here twice a month here at Lit Cigar Lounge, and we have a really good time being here with the patrons here at the lounge. So we're really excited, and as I told you before, it's a lot going on here. Golden Tee is here, great bar setup, the finest cigars in this area, and some great people to hang out. So come on down, 17073 North Outer 40 Road, right here in Chesterfield. So yeah, let's start with the XFL, because the baseball, I'm gonna be talking about baseball, man. It's gonna take a little minute. Let's talk with the XFL. So XFL got started on this past weekend. Some interesting games. You know, there are only, for those of you all who are new or who haven't really been looking or really interested in the XFL, they have eight teams this year. Let's see if I can give them to you all to you. Dallas, New York, Los Angeles, St. Louis, Tampa. You know, there's some of them in some of the major NFL markets, and like in St. Louis, markets that don't generally don't have teams anymore. And so it was some great football, especially for those who have been looking for jobs. You know, the NFL, those rosters are only 54 man rosters. They can only have 45 men active, I believe, every Sunday. So it's only 32 teams in the NFL, and so there are a lot of players out there who have skill level, who want to have an opportunity to play, but the NFL just really, you don't really have a lot of jobs. And so you had some great games going on the first weekend. You have the undefeated teams right now, I believe, and you got to forgive me because I'm just trying to fall into this and really get into it. I'm a big NFL fan. You all who listen to the show know that. And so because of that, I've been kind of a little reticent of any new leagues, especially with the XFL, because a few years, they came about 20 years ago. The WWE, Vince McMahon and his boys started the XFL, and that was a very unique brand of football. This one is a more traditional brand of football. They've tweaked some of the rules. Like the kickoff rule is a really, really cool rule where you can the ball is kicked off and you can't run down the cover to kick until after it has been received by the team. They have three different ways to score after you score a traditional touchdown. You can go for two, you can go for three. And so it's an interesting brand of football. My thing is, I want to see what it looks like next year. This year, they have a few players like Landry Jones, who's been in the league, Cardale Jones, who's been in the league, a few players like that, players who've had a cup of coffee in the league, some players who were cut by several teams like LaDainian Washington, formerly of the University of Missouri, MIZ. You'll see a few players like that, players that you may recognize if you're fans of those particular college teams. But no real stars, and they've been trying to get a few stars. They went after Colin Kaepernick. They did a flyer on Johnny Manziel, those kind of players. I think that league is going to really do well if they can get some great players, especially they're doing something interesting. The St. Louis team, the Battlehawks, has a young man on there who still had a year of college eligibility left. He's playing for them. He's a defensive back. He's a safety. He had 1 year of college eligibility left, and he is pretty much a test case. His hope is that he plays in this league, that it's better than going to the combine, that teams see him, and that it moves him up in the draft that will be coming in April. So he is a test case, and we'll see what happens with it. It would be very interesting. It's very, very interesting to see how this league is going to pan out. Not necessarily the first year, but year two, year three, year four. This is the type of league that's going to take a few years to really catch on. So as a fan of the game, I'm really excited that that there's more football. You know, if you listen to the show, you know I'm really a football head. So I'm excited that there's more football. But I'm also hoping that some younger kids get an opportunity to play. There's probably a chance that some kids are going to challenge the rules of the NFL instead of trying to play in the NFL right out of high school. I wouldn't be surprised if sooner or later you catch a kid who would like to take a chance and go straight to the XFL and see what happens with that. So it's going to be really, really interesting to see how those things go. So they had some great games, great meaning, you know, they played some good football. The other thing that XFL really is, I don't want to forget, they're really focusing in on the gambling aspect. They post the spread during the game. They talk about the over under during the game. Now, I don't know how they were able to set over unders on this league in the first week, because you just really didn't know what you were going to get out of those teams. Some teams, Landry Jones, who's probably the best player in the league, didn't play. They were still able to set lines on those games. So it's really interesting how they are so tied in to gambling, to legalized gambling. So this weekend, for instance, you have four games. You know, usually they list the over-under, the point spread and all that, but they don't usually speak about that during the broadcast, not with the NFL and definitely not with college football. But they, in watching some of the games, they take a lot of time talking about those things and talk about the spread. Also, got some cool sideline features. The sideline reporter is a little bit more involved. And then another great thing about this league, and I think this is going to be adopted by the NFL, what they do is when they review calls, you actually hear the the conversation about the review. You hear the eye in the sky, the official who's actually looking at it, and he's actually talking to the head official saying, okay, we got a fumble, we got a recovery, the ball is going to go on this this yard line, and this much time is going to be on the clock, and they move really quick. They have another thing where they have one official whose only job is to spot the ball because they want to keep the game moving. So you'll see this official just running around with game balls, spotting the ball, moving so they can keep the game moving. So the game flows. And I think some of those things are going to be adopted. If you are a big football fan, you will remember when the XFL first started, they were the first to use the overhead camera during their games. The NFL immediately adopted that, became a part of what the NFL does. So I think they're going to adopt some of the stuff, especially some of the stuff with the officiating and the spotting of the ball and the kickoff rule. I think that's something that they will hold on to. So we're going to keep looking, man. We're not going to do a deep dive into the XFL because I'm still trying to figure out who these guys are and waiting to see some really good football being played. It was decent football. It wasn't bad football. Mike Golic Jr. from ESPN calls it college plus. He said it was like watching college plus. So we'll see. Some games coming up this Saturday. You got the Guardians and the Defenders, the Vipers and the Dragons on Saturday, the Renegades and the Wildcats, and the St. Louis Battlehawks and the Roughnecks on Sunday. Those games are going to be on ABC, Fox, and Fox Sports One. One great thing about it, they only have eight teams. Everybody plays. So everybody plays. On every weekend, so you see those teams, you see your team, you really do see that. So sorry about that. We're looking forward to that weekend. This weekend's action. Going forward. Just so much going on here. You know, it's the wonderful thing about doing a live show. You can just really engage. And it is what it is. It comes out. And so thank you all again for listening and staying with me over these past few weeks. We had about a week that we didn't have any shows, dealing with some personal illness, so I wasn't able to get on and give you all this good sports talk. And so and then we had our big Super Bowl show, which we had here at Lit also. So back in swing, back full blown and excited about what we are doing. So XFL, now I'm waiting to hear back from the Battlehawks, man. I really would really like to cover that team here and kind of get into it. It's a St. Louis team. We're a little jilted here. We had two teams who have left us. The Rams left us with some good memories and a championship. Also, shout out to Isaac Bruce, the newest member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. One of the greatest players of all time on one of the greatest teams of all time. Shout out to that University of Memphis alum, Isaac Bruce, what we used to call the Reverend Ike, Isaac Bruce, making it to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Shout out to him. So from the greatest show on turf, Orlando Pace, Kurt Warner, and Marshall Faulk, and they are being joined by Isaac Bruce. Torrey Holt was a finalist, but he did not make it to the Hall of Fame this year. But I look forward to that. And maybe down the line, man, you never know. Dick Vermeil, Mike Martz, maybe Dick Vermeil definitely should be wearing a gold jacket. Mike Martz, he revolutionized the game, but I think he got to come back and do a little bit more before he gets his due. He was an innovator, but he just wasn't around long enough. So that's my football talk for now, man, because we're kind of in the lull other than the XFL. We're getting into the place where the Combine will be the end of this month. The Combine, I believe, is in 2 weeks. And then you have your pro days at all the schools, and then you have the big draft, the NFL draft, which happens in April. So we're going to take a little break from football and being such a football heavy show and kind of talk about some other sports that are going on. Going to the NBA, as I said before, the NBA is going into their All-Star weekend festivities. The top two vote getters, LeBron James and Giannis Antetokounmpo, selected their teams. They now do a selection of the players who play with them. It should be an interesting All-Star game. Some late scratch as of last night. Damian Lillard, phenomenal guard, shooting guard of the Portland Trail Blazers, who've been setting the league on fire for the last month, had a groin injury and he will not participate in the All-Star game. Devin Booker of the Phoenix Suns will be coming and taking his place. As we go into the All-Star break in the East, the team with the best record and the best overall record are the Milwaukee Bucks. And in the West, the team with the best record are the Los Angeles Lakers. The Lakers coming off a great game last night, overtime win against the Denver Nuggets. LeBron is steaming, trying to get towards that MVP. However, Giannis is the best player on the best team. So I think Giannis might be a back-to-back MVP recipient unless he falters over the next 30 games. There are about 30 games left in the regular season. Those of you all who listen to this and know how I get down, you know that my team are the Golden State Warriors. We are not very good this year. Golden State made a significant trade right before the trade deadline last week, trading D'Angelo Russell to the Minnesota Timberwolves for former number one overall pick D'Angelo Andrew Wiggins, formerly of Kansas. If you really follow basketball, you know that Andrew Wiggins was the first overall pick of the Cleveland Cavaliers the year that LeBron went back. They traded him to Minnesota for Kevin Love at the time, and it led them to go to four straight finals. Wiggins was teamed up with Karl Anthony Towns in Minnesota, and that team kind of has underachieved. And so now they have traded him to the Golden State Warriors for D'Angelo Russell, who the Golden State Warriors in a sign and trade got from the Brooklyn Nets over the summer helped send Kevin Durant to the Brooklyn Nets. D'Angelo Russell has played well for the Golden State Warriors, but those who follow the Warriors know that he's a shooting guard, and they kind of have the best shooting guard in the world that's injured and will be coming back in Steph Curry. In bringing in Andrew Wiggins, it really changes the dynamic of that team. It gives them a wing scorer with some size, some athleticism, a young player. It really helps with that team. So that team going into next year will have Steph Curry and Klay Thompson back with Draymond Green. You have Kevon Looney that will be playing next year. You have their two great players that they picked up in the draft that will be also playing with them. So it'll be really interesting to see what happens with that. Really interesting to see what happens with that Golden State Warriors team. It's going to be great watching how that team comes together and watching what happens with the they will be getting a number one draft choice. That number one draft choice would probably be Weissman or one of those kids like there, maybe one of the ball kids. And so it's going to be interesting to see what happens with the team going forward. So this year is kind of a wash with the Golden State Warriors not really being able to do anything great this year, having a subpar record. But they will bounce back and be great again next year. So we're going into the All-Star break. Don't look for the Golden State Warriors to do anything this year, but I'm looking I'm thinking my NBA title picks may be looking like LeBron playing, I'm gonna say Boston, but don't hold me to that. The league would love a Lakers Boston championship. So we'll see what happens with that. All right. So that's my NBA. They're at All-Star break. The last two games before the break will be tonight, and then they will take about a week break, and then we will be in the stretch run. Just as a side, Steph Curry is probably going to be coming back beginning of March. No word on when Klay will be coming back, but Steph Curry will definitely be back the beginning of March. It's going to be interesting to see how he melds with the younger players, Jordan Poole, Eric Pascal, Kai Bowman, a kid who they signed who was on a two-way contract who's now playing with them. Marquise Chris, a kid who showed a lot of promise when he was drafted by the Phoenix Suns, who's now in a full contract, a fully guaranteed contract with the Golden State Warriors. They've gotten really, really young now, and it's going to be interesting to see how that goes down on next year. So that's my NBA. All right, man, I want to take some time and talk about a game that I used to really be in love with, a game that was really close to my heart, and that's baseball. It's been an interesting off season for Major League Baseball, a very interesting off season for Major League Baseball. Most people know that there was a big cheating scandal. The Houston Astros were exposed for cheating, sealing signs, letting not only just stealing the signs, but communicating to the batter in the box what was coming. And so today, the Houston Astros had a press conference. Several of the players had a press conference talking about what happened. You know, they fired the manager. They fired the GM, Jeff Luhnow, formerly of the St. Louis Cardinals. He was the assistant general manager under John Mozeliak here in St. Louis before he took the Houston job. They fired him. They fired the manager, A.J. Hinch. Cora was fired as the manager, or mutually, they decided to mutually let part ways up in Boston. So a lot has happened. It's just been so much. Several pitchers are no longer in the league. They feel like that their inability to win on the big stage led to them being out. There's one pitcher, I forget his name, but he is suing baseball. He's suing the Houston Astros for lost wages. We'll follow that and see how that goes. But I would, as a baseball fan, I grew up really loving baseball. I spent a lot of time watching. I was one of those kids who would get the Post-Dispatch and read the box scores back when you had the National League East, when it was the Cardinals, the Atlanta Braves, the Philadelphia Phillies, the New York Mets. All those teams were in the same division when it was I really, really loved baseball. I played baseball when I was a kid. I was a catcher because I loved Ted Simmons and Johnny Bench. You know, I right-handed hitter, really enjoyed playing the game. And I was a big, big fan for many, many years. I'm one of those fans. I was at Game 7 of the 1982 World Series, the Cardinals against the Brewers. I was at Game 1 of the 1985 World Series, the I-70 series with the Cardinals and the Royals. I followed the team for many, many years. So when I talk about baseball, I talk about it from a place of love. But I believe baseball is at a crossroads now. They're talking about some rule changes and some tweaks and things of that nature. But I think this is probably one of this is the biggest scandal in my lifetime in baseball. Now, baseball has always had major issues that came during decades. In the 70s, it was free agency because of Curt Flood. The 70s was when free agency first jumped off, and you had a lot of money being spent by a lot of teams, including That's when George Steinbrenner really started stepping up as the owner of the New York Yankees and signing really, really great players and spending a lot of money on players, and players were able to move more freely around. So that was the 70s. That was the big deal about the 70s. In the 80s, the big issue with baseball in the 80s were cocaine. If you remember, they had a really big cocaine issue in the 80s. Dale Berra, the son of the great Yogi Berra, and some of the players with the Pittsburgh Pirates were involved in a major drug issue. Google it. I'm telling you, it was serious, and it trickled down all the way to the St. Louis Cardinals. There were some issues with the Cardinals at that time also, and it was prevalent in the league. But the league were always also moving to a different brand of baseball. That's when Whitey Ball first jumped off, when Faster was in those great teams of the Cardinals. Back then, I remember when Gary Templeton, when Whitey traded Gary Templeton for Ozzie Smith, nobody had any idea how great Ozzie Smith was going to be for the Cardinals. I remember that trade. I remember what precipitated that trade. I remember the big trades where we got where we traded Ted Simmons. It was big time then. It was big time. Great players at every position. You had Hernandez playing first base, Tommy Harrod second. You had Obergefell. You had Kenny Reitz. You had Ozzie Smith, Lonnie Smith, Vince Coleman. You had Daryl Porter behind the plate. Man, it was a great time. It was a great time. I remember Big George Hendricks, man. Oh my God, it was a great time to be a Cardinals fan in the '80s. But baseball overall was dealing with that issue, and you had some great teams also. That great Mets team with Doc Gooden and Daryl Strawberry, they had some issues. But that was the 80s, and in the 90s, it was steroids. It was the steroid era. You had the Bash brothers with McGuire, and you had Sammy Sosa, and you had. I remember one year there was a shortstop for Baltimore. His name, not shortstop. I think he played third because Kyle Ripken Jr. played shortstop, but his name was Brady Anderson, and he went from 10 home runs one year to 40 home runs the next year. It was, steroids was huge. Barry Bonds went from being a very, very good, very, very, very good 5-2 player to deciding I'm going to hit some home runs after watching what Sammy Sosa and Mark McGuire was doing. You had Ken Caminiti. You had a lot of guys on steroids in the 90s, but baseball still survived. You had some great teams, some really great teams, and baseball was able to rise above that. And then you had the Pete Rose also. And now you had that whole Pete Rose thing with the former commissioner, Abart Giamani, suspending him for life, doing the whole Dowd investigation and finding that Pete Rose bet on baseball. And I remember at the time people was up in arms about that. But that was the 90s, and we got through the 90s. And then in the 2000s, you had HGH, a lot of players using the HGH, and you had the really, really, really big contracts. I mean, you had A-Rod with the first $250 million contract. You had players signing for a whole lot of money, but you still had great baseball, and you still were able to love the game, to watch the game, to be involved in the game. But now this cheating scandal, it really goes to the heart of baseball. It really goes to the heart of the game. And I don't think that baseball has addressed it the way they should. I know Manfred did a big investigation and, you know, suspended some people and all that. But understand what happened. What happened was the Houston Astros cheated and by cheating, they won a World Series. That's the bottom line, that they cheated teams out of winning fair and square. Now, cheating has always gone on in every sport. One person said, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. I understand that. But let me share with you, if you're not familiar with it, let me just give you some nuts and bolts about how elaborate this scheme was. Apparently, they were taping the signals from the catcher, keeping a record of those signals, entering this information into a spreadsheet, sharing information, sending sounds, you know, banging cans and a whole bunch of stuff, every way to get these players to know what the next pitch was. Now you say, okay, but they still have to hit the pitch. So understand, one of the hardest things to do in the world is to hit a baseball. That is one of the most difficult things that you could ever do. If you don't believe me, go to a batting cage, set it on 40 miles an hour, and see how hard it is to hit a ball going 40 miles an hour. Now, after you do that, after you swing and miss on there, go set it for 60. Yeah, you're going to swing and miss on that too. Imagine swinging at a 95 mile per hour baseball, which means you only have a fraction of a second to decide what that pitch is and to hit. That's why for a great hitter only hits the ball 3 times out of 10. Yeah, 3 times out of 10. So imagine if it's already hard to do that, but now you know what's coming. You already have the skill to hit the baseball, and now you know what's coming. Imagine how that could be. Imagine how you take away the ability of their pitcher to really do their job because you know what's coming. And that's what the Houston Astros were doing. That's exactly what the Houston Astros were doing. And they won the World Series doing it. And baseball hasn't done enough. I'm one of those people that believe that has to be vacated, that you have to vacate that championship. You actually cheated. Even one player, Jose Altuve, he was scoring, I believe he hit a home run. He was coming around third, and generally now one of the new things they do is they rip the shirt off the player. I don't know why they do that, but they rip the shirt off the player, and he did not want them to rip that shirt off. And what people are saying, what's being reported, is because he had a sensor under there that was telling him what the pitch was, and he didn't want that to be exposed. Man, look here. First of all, that's just really crazy. Second of all, I just don't understand how you sit up and decide to cheat like that, and then you get everybody on board with it. I just think that they haven't done enough. I think about how big of a deal it was when we found out that Pete Rose was betting on baseball games. How big of a deal that was. I remember the movie Nine Men Out, which was about the Black Sox scandal. And that wasn't even a whole team. It was just a couple of players that was throwing the game. And those players, the commissioner back then really threw the book at them and banned them from baseball. Can you imagine that? Banned from baseball. And here we know exactly what happened. They did an investigation and they know exactly what happened. And all they do is say, we're sorry. Yeah. And some of the guys today weren't even contrite. They was like, we're sorry. Okay, moving on. Yeah, we did something wrong, but I mean, yeah, okay. Baseball has to do something. And here's the problem with baseball. Here's the real issue with baseball. Most baseball fans are not fans of the sport per se, meaning they don't sit down and watch anybody play the sport. Football is one of those games where they've created a place where you love your team, right? You love your team, but you also will watch other teams play. Here, I can give you an example. The way they work it is that you get your game in your market, okay? And then they usually have on Sunday, and then they usually have a second game on Sunday, which is a national game, that most people get a national game of national importance, right? Monday Night Football, same way. Monday Night Football is a national game. Sunday Night Football is a national game. Thursday Night Football is a national game. So they pull you in as a football fan, not just to watch your team play, but you watch other teams play. And all 32 teams, you're involved with all 32 teams. You're going to watch them because most football fans love football. So they're going to watch the game. Most baseball fans are fans of a particular team. So here in St. Louis, everybody's a Cardinal fan. You can't live in St. Louis if you're not be a Cardinal fan. I'm a Cardinal fan. Full disclosure, I am a big Cardinal fan. But most Cardinal fans are not watching a Mariners game, unless the Cardinals are playing the Mariners. They're not watching the Tampa Bay Rays game. But if you're an NFL fan, you will watch the Seattle Seahawks play or the Tampa Bay Buccaneers play. That's the problem with baseball. Baseball does not have the national or international, even with that, the international draw. Football plays games in England. They've played in Tokyo. They've played in Mexico. They've played in those cities during the season. Baseball, you don't have that feel like I want to go watch those teams. Baseball doesn't even have a team in Canada anymore. The Montreal Expos used to be in Canada. That team now are the Tampa Bay Rays. So that's the issue with baseball. And now you have this on top of all of that. You have this cheating scandal, which not just affected single games, but it affected the World Series, the championship of baseball. So I think Rob Manfred needs to go back. Now, I know one of the reasons he hasn't really attacked this head on is because the players union is very, very, very strong. Because the player union is very, very, very strong, you can't go after the players. You can't punish the players. You can punish the teams, but you're not going to really punish the teams like you need to punish them. You're not going to take a championship away from it. It's not like the NCAA where you could just, you know, you just say, hey, Michigan, we're going to take away your Final Fours, or Reggie Bush, we're going to take away your Heisman Trophy. That's not how it is in baseball, in professional sports. It's a lot harder than that. It's been a lot of money. You know, one of the reasons they can't do it, because what do you do about all those people with any bets? You can't. Vegas ain't going to let you come back and say, hey, I want to collect for the, because I bet on the Dodgers, and baseball has turned around and said that the Dodgers are now the champions, so where's my money? Man, that's not gonna happen. Vegas ain't gonna let that happen. So, you know, that's the issue. That's what the problem is. So they don't want to open Pandora's box, but they have to make sure that nothing like this ever happens again. Baseball, I want to come back. I want to come back, baseball. I want to enjoy baseball. But baseball, you got to do better. Now, as a fan, you know, I have, full disclosure, when Albert Pujols left, I had a problem. And I ain't really been, you know, we won after that. But I always hold out hope that we can bring Pujols back to St. Louis. I told you I'm a fan. I'm a St. Louis fan. My hope is that eventually he decides to come back to St. Louis, because he hasn't done anything out in Anaheim. They have not done anything with him playing with the quote-unquote best player in baseball and Mike Trout. Haven't done anything. So, as a plea, come on back, Albert. Come on. We still love you here in St. Louis. We still want you back. First base ain't been the same without you. That's just my personal thing. First base ain't been the same without you. So, but take all of that stuff I said, and baseball is about to start again. So with all of the issues that baseball has, baseball is getting started up again. I was watching, I'm watching MLB Network, Timmy Kirchen talking about baseball, ESPN, Pedro Gomez. Come on, man. It's back. So as much as all that talk I did, I want to see what happens. I want to see what happens with my Cardinals. They really didn't make any big moves in the offseason. My hope is that they do something somehow to make this team more than just, the little engine that could. Big trade, Mookie Betts and David Price going from the Boston Red Sox to the Los Angeles Dodgers. The rich just get richer. If you're a betting person, put your money on the Los Angeles Dodgers because they are going for it this year. I promise you they're going for it this year. It's going to be interesting to watch what happens with the Dodgers, but on paper, they're the best team in baseball, and they are definitely going for it this year. So baseball season is coming. Spring training is about to go down. You're going to see some real baseball coming soon, and hopefully my Cardinals will be in the mix this year. So, yeah, so moving on, man, moving forward, we are going into that time of year where we're going to have a lot of basketball, NBA, college basketball, and baseball, and the XFL, and the combine. This is that really, really busy time. We're going. You got Final Four that's going to be coming up. March Madness is coming up. This is that fun time where you get really excited, really excited. Enjoy this time because July is coming. And if you're a sports fan, July is really sleepy sports-wise. Not a lot going on in July. So enjoy this time. Going forward, the next few weeks, we're going to be breaking down what's going on in the NCAA with basketball. This is my favorite time of year, man. When you talk about the NCAA basketball, this is my favorite time of year because now teams are deep into their conference schedule. You're seeing some teams kind of separate themselves. You're seeing some teams vie for top in their conference, vie for number one seeds. I'm a Mizzou alum, full disclosure. So we play in the SEC. Mizzou's not going to do anything this year. I can do a whole four shows on Mizzou basketball. But just looking at the SEC right now, Auburn is in first. Auburn, University of Kentucky, LSU. See, I flip real to their basketball. I told their basketball is serious to me. Auburn, the top four in the conference are Auburn, University of Kentucky, LSU, and Florida. Auburn is 9-2 in conference. University of Kentucky is 9-2 in conference. LSU, coming off a big comeback win against the University of Missouri, is also 9-2 in conference. And then Florida and South Carolina followed up at 7-4. Mizzou is way down, 3-8. They're not going anywhere. But those three teams at the top, Auburn, University of Kentucky, LSU, everything breaks right, and they can be Final Four teams. That's what that looks like. In the top 25, here's your top 25. Number one, I'll start at 25. I won't start at number one. Number 25, like I said, LSU. LSU is in 20. It's coming in 25. Number 24 is Texas Tech. Number 23 out of Missouri Valley Conference is Creighton. Number 22, University of Illinois. Number 21, University of Iowa, also out of the Big Ten. University of Houston is number 20. Now, number 19, got Butler. Number 18, Marquette. Number 17, bringing up the Pac-10, is Oregon, followed by another Pac-10 team in the University of Colorado. Villanova's there, former national champion. West Virginia, with Huggy Bear, Bob Huggins, still on the sidelines. He's been on sidelines so long, he don't even walk the sidelines anymore. He sits on the sideline. Surprising, Penn State is at number 13. University of Kentucky, one of the Blue Bloods, is now number 12, followed by Auburn at number 11. Seton Hall, some of y'all don't remember Seton Hall was all the way in the championship game against Michigan in 1989. Lost to Ramel Robinson and Glenn Rice and those guys, with Andrew Gaze playing for the Seton Hall, and P.J. Carlissimo was the head coach back then. They're at number 10. University of Maryland is at number 9, also another former NCAA championship with Juan Dixon and Steve Blake back in that day. Florida State is right there. Duke, you know Duke. We ain't got to say nothing about Duke. Surprisingly, the University of Dayton Flyers are number 6. They're number 6 in the country. And rounding out the top 5, you got the Blue Blood Louisville Cardinals. You know how they get down. San Diego State, another surprise, is at number 4. And if my memory serves, Steve Fisher is still the coach of San Diego State. Steve Fisher was a coach that took over for the University of Michigan when Bill Frieder left to go to Arizona State, and he coached that team I was talking about with Ramel Robinson. He coached those guys to the championship game. He also was the coach for the Fab Five. I believe he's still the head coach of San Diego State. And if you don't remember that, Kawhi Leonard is an alum of San Diego State. Number 3, Rock Chalk, Chicken Hawk. KU is number 3 in the country. Number 2 is that perennial team from the West Coast Conference that's always there, that's been there ever since Mark Few has showed up on the campus. Gonzaga is number 2, and number 1 is Baylor. Number 1 is Baylor. Baylor is number 1. Baylor is the number. I don't understand how Baylor has gotten so good in football and then gotten so good in basketball. And if you remember, Baylor was way down with basketball. They had a major scandal several years ago. Look it up. Google it. Major scandal in the basketball program. Just they had a major scandal in the football program, and both of those teams from that school have risen to the occasion. They have a first-class basketball team, first-rate football team. Men's basketball, first-rate football team, and a first-rate women's basketball team. So, yeah, Baylor is the number 1 team in the country. They are 21-1. The only undefeated in the top 25 is San Diego State, who's coming in at 4. So, you see how I get down with this basketball, man. I just go right in. It's real simple, real easy for me on the basketball. So, shout out to all those great teams. Looking forward to what it's going to look like as we round out February and going into March Madness, going into those conference tournaments, and we're going to be all on top of it. We may do a show specifically during that weekend and with all the conference tournaments, and then that Sunday show. I might do a Sunday show that will, you know what, I'm going to do a Sunday show on Selection Sunday so that we can kind of fill out our brackets together. How about that? Cool. Hey, look, it's been a blast being with you all on today. I am so excited that we're back and better than ever, coming back after a brief illness and some other stuff going down. So we're just happy. And hey, I want to shout out again, we're right here. You got to come into this place, man. This is Lit Cigar Lounge, one of the best places in the And one place, best places like this in anywhere, when especially in this area, great cigars, great drink, great everything, great atmosphere. It's located at 17073 North Outer 40 Road in the Chesterfield Outlets. If you come into the outlets, it is directly across from the Polo Ralph Lauren store. You can't miss it. You got to come in here, open every day. You got to come in, say you heard it on Let's Get It with Alaric Anderson. Come on in and say that. A lot of drink specials, a lot of great cigars. Come on through. And they just got the Golden Tee machine, so it's jumping off. That's also a great conversation. Poker night in here. Some nights you come in and you hear some great music. Feel free to come by anytime. Feel free to come by anytime. But we're glad to call this place home. I'm a member here, and I do my show here live twice a month. So feel free to come by here, stop by here, say hi to Brian and Dana, two of the owners here at Lit Cigar Lounge. They would love to see you. If you are just listening to us on the podcast and you listen to us on one of the many outlets that you can get our podcast live, we're so thankful that you are listening. Feel free to download this and share it. If you are watching this via Facebook and you're getting the broadcast of this, thank you for watching. Please leave a comment. Let me know that you're listening. Let me know if there's anything that we can do to make this show better. You can email me at 7musicandsports, sevnmusicandsports@gmail.com with any comments. You can also leave a comment on Facebook. It's all good. Again, you can listen to us. Also, you can hear the show on www.alaricanderson.net, alaricanderson.net, exclusive content of the show. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for listening. Let's Get It with Alaric Anderson. This has been our live show that we do twice a month, and we look forward to speaking to you again. We'll see you on the next time. Thank you, and God bless.